take your Bibles, if you will, tonight and turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Only reason I came tonight was because I knew I wouldn't be called on to preach. It's that other dear brother. This is the night of surprises, that's for sure. I heard of the story of the old couple sitting out on the front porch. The old woman looked at her husband, been married 60 years, and she said, I'm mighty proud of you. And he said what all old men say. What'd you say? She said, I said, I'm proud of you. What? She said, I said, I'm proud of you. He said, yeah, I'm getting mighty tired of you too. And went to bed that night, and she heard something downstairs, and went down, and he went down with her, and they caught a boy robbing them. And the boy said, boy, I hate this. You done seen my face. I'm going to have to shoot you. They took the gun, pointed at the old woman, and said, by the way, what's your name? She said, my name's Elizabeth. The old boy's chin got to quivering and drooped. He said, I can't shoot you. My mama's name was Elizabeth. She pointed the gun at the old man and said, what's your name? He said, Henry, but everybody calls me Elizabeth. Amen. So I hadn't been able to be here until now, but I'm glad I can get in now. Amen. Praise God. There's a verse that has plagued me for years. You know, there's a lot in the Word of God that we just don't understand. There's a verse that I have pondered and mused and read every book I could on it, and just nothing ever really satisfied the answer. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, speaking of God, hath made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, this has always bothered me. I couldn't quite get my mind around it. So one day driving to the office, I feel the Holy Spirit kind of shed some light on it. And I'm glad tonight that I believe I've got a little bit better grasp. And God made. Now, of course, we think of the word made means to force someone. Well, I'm glad to tell you tonight that God did not make Jesus come to the cross of Calvary. He was not forced. He was not compelled. He was not made in that way. To be, to become, to change from one state to another. He hath made him, Jesus, to be, to become sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we who were nothing but sinners could be made righteous in him. And the Old Testament, we won't take time to go there. Adam and Eve had sinned. And God came walking as he did in the cool of the day. Found them over in the bushes. They came out. And for the first time they had seen that they were naked. I believe up to then they shined with the Shekinah glory of God, like Moses did when he went on the mountain. They had never seen their nakedness, but immediately upon sinning, they saw that they were naked, and they made coats of fig leaves to cover their nakedness. Now, when they came to God, God said, this is not going to do. Now, did that fig leaf not cover their nakedness? Sure. Was it not modest enough? Sure it was. But God said, you cannot cover yourself. You cannot cover your sin without blood. Without blood. And so God took a little lamb, maybe their favorite one. Now remember, Adam and Eve lived in the garden. There was no death. There was no dying. They had never seen anything die. They had never seen bloodshed. But God took that precious little lamb and he butchered it. And as the red blood flowed out of the body of that lamb, Adam and Eve stood in horror as they watched that little lamb grow weaker and weaker, and the life of the flesh and the blood, and they saw it die. And then God Almighty did something that terrified them. God took that lamb and he peeled the skin off of it. He pulled the hide And to Adam and Eve, he made a coat of skin and handed it to Adam. And I believe Adam probably said, Lord, don't make me wear that. Lord, don't make me put that on. I've never seen anything so horrible. I've never seen anything so awful as you killing that lamb. I don't want that skin on my skin. And God said, Adam, you're going to wear it. And every morning when you get up and you pull that skin on, it's going to remind you that a lamb had to die and blood had to be shed for your sin. He said, you're going to remember that. You're going to remember that every day you put that lamb skin on. Well, we go over to the book of Leviticus and we see that in the Old Testament, they would take a lamb and the father of the family would come out and he would take that lamb. He'd take his hands and place them on the forehead of that lamb, that goat. And their sins, the family's sins, would be imputed, would be transferred from him and his family to that lamb. And as he symbolically laid his hands on that head, he was transferring his sins and his family's sins to that lamb that then would die, that then would shed blood to cover their sin for yet another year. But now we come to Calvary. Take your, hold your place here, run real quickly. Matthew 27. Matthew 27. The Bible said, they crucified him. Verse 35, parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which they've spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Another haunting verse that's always gave me chills is verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. I've been with dying people, but it's always been out of respect. It's always been out of love. I can't imagine sitting down and wanting to see somebody die, hating them so bad that you would sit down and watch them die. They did, and they did that for you and for me. If you will, look down in verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. 12 o'clock noon, high noon, God Almighty cut the lights out. And the sun refused to shine. And the moon refused to shine. And the stars and the planets went black. And for 3 long, miserable hours, the entire world was cast into darkness. You say, why? Because a lot of the world was dying on a cross of Calvary. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, beloved, Jesus had 7 statements on the cross. When he first got there, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he, of course, took care of his mama, told John, you take care of her, and the woman, you go with John. And someone asked me, said, Brother Dean, why do you think John was the only disciple that wasn't martyred? I believe because he took care of the mother of Jesus. That's why. I believe that he was the only one that didn't die martyrs there. And so then, beloved, Jesus is resurrected, Father. But now, at the ninth hour, he looks to heaven and he does not say, Father. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? While he is suffering and bleeding and dying on the cross of Calvary, God Almighty had to turn his back on his only begotten son. Now, beloved, hold your place here and go to Isaiah real quick. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Beloved, it wasn't a Roman whip that put the most pain on Jesus. It wasn't 3 spiked nails that put pain on Jesus. Beloved, it was God the Father smiting his own son on the cross of Calvary. The Bible goes on to say, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Now look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I've got three children tonight. And I would die for them, but I wouldn't let them die for me. There are some people in this world that I know that I love. And I'd die for. But I don't know anybody tonight that I love enough I'd let my son die for. But beloved, the Bible said while he was on the cross of Calvary, Jesus was made sin for you and for me. And it pleased God to bruise him. Now, I've only got one son, got two daughters. And while they were coming up, when bad things would happen and they would be in trouble, and they'd come to me crying, that never pleased me. I've never seen my children cry and got pleasure or joy out of that. It's always broken my heart. And when I've had to inflict punishment, it's always broken my heart. I've never enjoyed seeing my children suffer. I've never enjoyed seeing them hurt. But the Bible said it pleased God to bruise his son. Why? Because on the cross of Calvary, beloved, about that ninth hour, I believe God stepped out of heaven. And I believe he came and put his hands on the forehead of our Savior hanging on the cross of Calvary. And at that moment, Jesus turned to our sin. He was made to be sin for you and for me. And as he hung there, beloved, and the sin of the world was placed on him, that sin, that wickedness, is what God Almighty was pleased to punish. Not his son, but the sacrifice for our sin. Jesus, my God, not Father. He saw a side of God he had never seen before. God, I've never seen you back before. I've never seen that side of you. But my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He goes on to say, it is finished. I've done what I came to do. Last year at Sheraton, Brother Stennett Ballou preached Monday night. I'd never seen this before. But he talked about how the blood of the animals, blood of lambs and goats and bulls and turtle doves, had buried our sins in the depths of the sea. How it removed it as far as the east is from the west. How God threw them behind his back. But the sad thing about them, they were still there. Buried in the sea, behind his back, they were still there. But I'm glad to tell you tonight, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, his blood did not cover our sins. His blood took our sins away once and for all. Gone. Yes, my sins are gone. They've been taken away through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when he was finished, he looked back to heaven and he said, Father, I'm coming home. God had turned back and said, that's what I've been waiting on, son. For 4,000 years, I have accepted the blood of bulls, lambs, goats, and turtle doves. But finally today, sin has been taken care of. And I'm glad they're taken away. You can go digging around in the depths of the sea for your sin. But my Bible said Jesus took my sins away. You say, what did he do with them? I don't care. I don't know where they are tonight, and I don't want to know where they are tonight. I'm glad Jesus took our sins. Oh, John the Baptist looked up one morning and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. in him. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll accept our love, our thanks, our deep appreciation. Thank you for that precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Blessing the remainder of the service in Christ's name.